For tapes of end time meetings, deliverance services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Wednesday morning, October the 29th, 2003. Minister's Deliverance Conference being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. George Leroy of Collingwood, Ontario, Canada, is the minister on this tape.
I don't know where to go, honestly. The Lord woke me up at 3:30 and I went into the Word. These charts that I have here, you can look at them later. I don't know if you'd be using them. But they've been to Indonesia, the Philippines, Puerto Rico, China. Basic truth on what God showed me in deliverance. How many put on the armor of righteousness this morning? The armor of light? I'm just going to share some things in Ephesians. Then we'll get into the scripture that I feel God wants me to share. Chapter 6 of Ephesians. Finally, my brethren, be strong. I want you to notice the next word, in. The Lord has been leading me over the past month as I've studied and He's blessed. But I found to be in Christ and to rest and abide in Him and to be subservient to His presence and to His power and to His life. That then I'm anxious for nothing. And then by everything in prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, I let my request be made known unto God. That's why I'm here. When I left family camp, Brother Glenn asked me to come back to this meeting. And I said to Brother Glenn, I have to pray about it. That's not a religious cliche. I don't want to go anywhere unless God wants me to go. I've been the other route. I've been tired as a pastor. I've prayed with accommodated people when I didn't think I should have. But because a pastor and you love your people and they need you, you go. And if they're sick, rather than have the prayer of faith, you go and pray with your elders or whomever. Many times they die. But there's a prayer of faith that God speaks. And when He calls us or when something happens, that prayer of faith takes over. And you know before you get there that when you pray, it's done. And so I said to Brother Glenn, I'll pray about it. I got home. I do a lot of studying in the Word. It's something that you can't get enough of. You're just continuously hungry. And I might study 3 or 4 hours and nothing happens. I don't, just the Word. Then the Holy Spirit will quicken something. Then the anointing comes and you find yourself lost in God, having an intimacy and a relationship that you never had previous. Oh, you saw God do things, but it was different. Where He wraps you into His love and speaks to you the truth. And so I was praying and studying. I was out in my deck out in the summer, warm weather. And as the Holy Ghost was moving on me and I was having a camp meeting with the Lord, I said, Lord, look, I have to know whether I should go to deliverance meeting this camp. And so I said, look, I never put a fleece, believe me, I don't do fleeces. But I said, Lord, if I'm to go, and then I prayed and said something, and left it. That same night at 7 o'clock, Brother Glenn phoned. And he said to me, George, we want you to come. Will you come? Now I'm on the spot. I love this man more than I loved my father, because he's a man of integrity, knows God. And so here I am wondering, what am I going to say? And the very next sentence that Brother Glenn said answered that fleece, just like that. So I said, yes, I'll come. Got off the phone. I was crying. Do a lot of that. How can you not weep when you get into his presence? So my wife knew something had happened, and she knew I had prayed about it, and I told her, and so we had a regular crying meeting together, and Brother Glenn had told me, don't forget to hug your wife, you get off the phone. I forgot, and he phoned back. And he asked my wife, did George hug you? You can believe I heard it when she got off the phone. Thanks a lot. God has truth. My theology was so fouled up. I'm 71, and it's taken me all these years to undo the theology that I had. Some of it was good, basic, but oh my. When God starts to show you truth, and you start to look at it, and you say, Lord, it's not that way, and God said, yes, it is. And you say, no, it's not. You better give up easy. He's too big to fight. And so here in Ephesians 6, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord.
Yes.
When I was a believer, born again, born anew, I had to have that experience before I could ever see there was a kingdom. Before there was the kingdom was apparent. It says that in the chapter of Nicodemus. You must be born anew, born from above, to see the kingdom. The word see means to even know there's a kingdom. Then after that, why then it goes down farther about entering it. But down a little farther it says, the wind bloweth where it listeth. And all of a sudden, when you come to Calvary and you come to the Lord, something happens and the Spirit of God does a new birth inside. But I knew him then as Jesus. And I read in Scripture, he says, you know him no longer after the flesh, after the Spirit. But fortunate enough for me, I was in a church that believed in the Pentecostal experience. And when I found out that he was with me, but he wants to be in me, then something happened. I received the Pentecostal experience with tongues as the evidence to let me know that he'd arrived and was speaking. You see, Paul said to the apostles or to the disciples of John, have you received the Holy Ghost since ye believed? They said, well, there's never heard there was such a thing as the Holy Ghost. And so he rebaptized them, laid hands on them, and they were baptized in the Spirit. Now these are the things the Lord is showing me. You have to work it out and pray about it and allow the Lord to show you. But if any man, if, be in Christ, old things are passed away. Behold, all things become fresh. He says, the kingdom of God is not meat nor drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. But the next scripture says, he that serveth God in these things shall be well pleasing to God. So he says the kingdom of God is inside or within you. I checked that out in the Greek because I've heard others say, no, no, it doesn't mean inside. It means inside. The kingdom's in here. And this kingdom that's in here, he wants to enlarge. But to enlarge this kingdom, there must be a circumcision by the Spirit. There was a natural circumcision, first the natural, then the spiritual. And so by the circumcision of the Spirit, which talks to us about in Romans, about the life, the ministry of the life of the Spirit, he begins to investigate in here. And there's scripture, and it's pretty, you know, Romans, I think it's 8:28. All things work together for good to them that love God and are the called according to his purpose, and the word purpose is showbread. So God wants to, and you're called, you're chosen, God places this kingdom in here. And he says, I want one kingdom to decrease, but I want my kingdom to increase. Because you were under the enemy before you ever came to the Lord. And he programmed you just the way he wanted to. And there are times, and I just prayed for a board member of one of the larger churches in Toronto. And he said, when I was going with my wife, when we first got married, I used to be jealous. But he said, that left. It wasn't even deliverance. He does now. But he said, just the other week, jealousy came back. And I said, where in the world did that come from? I said, in here. Dead works that can be activated depending on the catalyst and what happens. That's why the Lord says all things work together for good, so that you come into a crisis and he's inside, he's investigating. So what he does, he allows something to happen. Now you have within you his kingdom, his power. That's, listen, wonderful. Because all I have to do is get up and sink into the garment. Just get into the garment. And as I get into the garment, then I know that now he is in control. And as he begins to live his life through me and in me, things will happen he permits. And rather than get really angry or whatever, succumb to that problem that I might be having, I say, Lord, you've allowed this so that I'll know what you want out. And so, through deliverance, power of the Spirit, out it comes. You know what I'm talking about. So he says, be strong in the Lord. Now, and in the dunamis, or in the empowerment of his might, his ability. I don't have any ability. I don't have any righteousness. I don't have any faith. I don't have anything. But I do have him. And that's my favorite scripture. Paul says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith through or of the Son of God. His faith. Fruit of the Spirit. I've had the gift of faith operate. I have committal papers here. I told you at family camp where a lady was institutionalized by her husband because she was Pentecostal. And in 9 days, we had her out of the institution. Not because I had anything to do with it, but because God inside spoke and said she's there for religious convictions. I had no evidence, but God knew. Now I have the committal papers, and we shared those with the institution and said, if you don't let her out, we'll go to the Washington Post. And we'll blow your institution wide open. And then they went to this doctor's wife and said, there seems to be some controversy about you being here. So we'll have you sign yourself out. So we find that the Holy Spirit who comes in and wants to lead us, you don't lead him. He leads you. Oh, what about all these sick people? When I go through the scriptures and I see where the Lord Jesus, and I appreciated what our brother said last night, God cannot be tempted with evil, yet Jesus was tempted. So that blows that theology out the window, doesn't it, brother? God, we know Jesus was full of the Holy Ghost. And because he subordinated himself to the kingdom or to the power of the Spirit, he could live and walk because he had the Spirit without measure. And when the test came to entice him to sin, the Holy Ghost came forth and repulsed it. Now, if he was God, man, as we've taught, been taught in theology, then what was the sense of the devil tempting him at all? What does that tell me? It tells me that I have his Spirit in me And when temptation comes, or the test, or the enticement to sin comes, he takes over. And I repulse it through the power of the Spirit. So here he says, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. One thing I learned, you don't argue with the devil. First of all, he's a liar. And secondly, I think he has a little more smarts than you do. So I leave that battle to the Holy Ghost. He knows what to do. So we find here, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood. When are we really going to learn this? Come on. We believe in deliverance. We know we're fighting a spiritual warfare. When I was in Newfoundland through the summer, had some meetings. I was in the pastor's home. We just had some fellowship because they're good friends of mine. There were only about 8 of us there in the room, and I said, bring in the accordion. He brought his accordion. We began to sing choruses, and as we sang, the Holy Ghost began to move, and God spoke. And I felt the power of God, and all of a sudden there was a rush of tongues, and I bound the principality of that area. Never done it in my life. The next night, the church was full. Salvation Army, United Church, and Episcopal Church. God had done a work through the Spirit. Jesus, you know, when are we going to learn? Jesus had the enemy come time and time again through flesh. But he knew he wasn't dealing with the flesh. He was dealing with the spirit world. And when it happened, he relied on the Holy Spirit. He said, the words that I speak are not my own. The works that I do are not my own. Well, whose were they? The Holy Ghost in him. And he didn't pray for everyone because everyone came to him for prayer. He was led by the Spirit, and you know Lazarus as well as I do. He waited until Lazarus was dead. Why did he wait so long? Because the Holy Spirit in him hadn't given him direction to get there. And when he did finally go, everyone in their negativity came out and said, well, he stinketh by now. Now, I've heard people say, well, when he said, Lazarus, come forth, all of them would have come out. Don't believe it. God spoke to him to raise Lazarus from the dead and no one else. Now, if God had said to him, go raise everybody from the dead, he'd have done it. And so there's a coming into the presence and the leading of the Spirit where you come into this rest. What a rest it is. He says you'll cease from your own sweat. You'll cease from your own labor. Well, that means I can sit down and pray money to come in and say, no, that's not what he's saying. You're going to work, but it'll be through the Spirit. Be a lot less heart attacks and mental breakdowns. Be a lot less pill taking if we get the stress off and say, Lord, hey, you've already taken care of the strong man. You said it is finished. And you bound and you destroy principalities and powers at the cross. And here they are, all of them, surrounding him and thinking, oh, we've got the Son of God. We've got this bastard child. We've got this one that's causing us trouble. We'll crucify him. And they're having a great time up there. And all of a sudden, Jesus says, it is finished, concluded. And they're tossed back and they're fearful because they know now the biggest mistake that was ever made by demon power was crucifying Jesus Christ. Why? Why? God's wisdom and a mystery. Because when he died and was buried and resurrected again, he said, I'm going to take my spirit and I'm going to place it in your life. And around the world, I'll have sons developing in my image. And the work that I began and was cut off in the years, my people who are filled with my spirit, I'll be doing my work through them. He'll finish it through you. He lives in you. He wants the wells cleaned out so that He can move to the power that He's placed there. Not just to talk in tongues. That's part of it, His arrival, but He wants to minister. And the more excellent way is the agape of God. And as we allow the love of God to flow, you'll see Jesus. You'll see Christ in you. I'm tired of seeing everything else but Christ. So we find here, we wrestle not, and you know what I'm talking about. We go out of here and we say we're wrestling, and then somebody comes along and does something, says something, or you're driving a car and they cut you off, and get up in the morning, you go to church, and the children are causing you trouble, and the next day, will you shut up? That's real Christian. In Newfoundland, the same lady I told you about in family camp, I prayed for vituperate spirit, never heard of it in my life before, had to go to Webster's to get the definition, and then finally she got free. This time, she came over and said, brother, I need to be set free. I said, of what? Well, she said, when you were preaching, you called out a carping spirit. Yeah, I did. And I laid hands on her for a carping spirit, just another lesser degree of vituperate, nagging. They called before I came, and I said, how you doing? Oh, she says, terrific. Terrific. And so we know that the Lord says we're not wrestling neighbors, pastors, board members, elders. We're wrestling the spirit world. Let's get used to it. Against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Now, we find, wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God. I'm going to change some things here because I think there's some truth that some people don't have in this area. That you may be able to oppose or resist in the evil day, and having done all to stand, and that means an upright and active position, because before you came to God, you were prostrate. Did you know that? Words bring out in the Greek that you're just prostrate in this world. And then when God comes into your life, you stand upright. Now you're active. You're a warrior now. And so we find here, stand therefore having your loins girt about with truth. The mind. These are your loins. The mind. Girt about with truth. And having on the breastplate of righteousness. Somebody says, well, I do have. No, you don't. You know what that breastplate is? Not righteousness. Mm-mm. There's a breastplate that covers righteousness. I want you to look 1 Thessalonians. You'll have it before me. 1 Thessalonians, the last chapter, chapter 5, verse 8. For let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of what? And love. I read, have faith in God. There's a breastplate where you have faith in God. You have the love of God, and these two have to operate over the righteousness, because if it doesn't operate and you don't love, the enemy's going to get through that righteousness, and you're going to be speared with the dart of the enemy. And so he goes on to say here, your feet shod with the preparation. The word preparation is internal fitness. Not going to some seminary. It's internal fitness. Your walk shod with internal fitness, so that when you move in the Spirit with the righteousness of Him. For Jesus Christ has made unto us what? Wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, redemption. He's everything. All He wants is for you and me to hide in Him, put on the armor of God, and allow Him to move in us and lead us, so that we're not going to have heart attacks and mental breakdowns. And when we get into the fight with the enemy, it'll be His power that we bind the enemy and cast him out. All God wants is you and I to yield. Just to yield. You know, I'm always trying to figure God out. I'm always trying to figure if I can help him out. Because he doesn't do it when I want it done. You learn. You learn. And so he talks to us here, and I want you to notice something back in Ephesians, whole 1 Thessalonians. And above all, taking the shield of faith. Well, who in the world? A shield, the word shield has to do with the Savior. You go back into the Psalms, he's my shield. He's my faith, because faith is the substance, and the word substance is trust, and he I trust. You know, this thing and I are not going to get along today. So I'm going to just leave it. All right. Now, why didn't I think of that? That's good Newfie logic. He's my shield. And when anything comes, he'll take care of it with the fruit of the Spirit. And if I need the manifestations, the power things that the Holy Ghost has, he'll take care of it. That doctor's wife had no idea when she was carted off to the institution what was going to happen. She didn't want the needle. She didn't want to have her confined 6 months to a year. Her husband was a bank director. He was a surgeon in D.C., house on Pennsylvania Avenue. And when he got her into the institution and kidnapped her from D.C. to Maryland, he went to the board of directors of the bank and said, "My wife's seriously ill. She's had a nervous breakdown. She's going to be in an institution for a number of months." Because he didn't like the money he had given to her. He wanted to get it back. I wonder what he thought when she was out in 9 days. What happened? The Holy Ghost knew. You know, he knows where we are. God knows. He knows what we need today. He knows whether you need healing. He knows whether you have a disease. He knows whether there's sickness here. He knows whether you need deliverance. I can't do it. He can. And we have to get our faith reposed into him. The relationship with him. And so he talks about it here. He says in the 16th, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Well, he can do a better job than I can. I met a lady in D.C. one time. I heard them talking, and she was talking about some lady who was full of demon power. This is before I came into deliverance for Christians. How stupid and dumb can you get? And I overheard it, so I interrupted their conversation and said, "Well, I believe in casting out of devils." "Oh, wonderful. They gave me your address." So I went down. She answered the door. When I walked in, she said, "I knew you were coming." "Oh, really?" You know, I walked out of there worn out because I started with 1,000 demons. That's what he told me. And then I prayed for an hour and a half and got them down to 600 and something. And the next thing, it was back up to 1,000 again. You talk about a novice. And you talk about the devil having a field day. I was believing everything that she was saying. The devil says, "Man, if all Pentecostals are like this, I don't have a thing to worry about." But as you grow, as you mature, as you allow him to live, then you're not so easily deceived. You think people aren't being deceived today? False signs, false wonders. I'm battling a physical problem that I'm believing God for. Something happened the other day, and my Lord, the Spirit spoke and said, "Lying wonder." Just like that. But thank you, Lord. Still believing. So we find here, take the helmet of salvation. Somebody says, "Oh, that's wonderful. I have the helmet of salvation." No, you don't. No, that's not what it means. Back to 1 Thessalonians. For an helmet, the what? The hope of salvation. Rescue. Did Jesus Christ come in the flesh? That's the question in 1 John. Yes, he did. He came in the flesh when he was born of a virgin. He's not talking about that. Did he come in your flesh? Sure he did. How? Through the power of the Holy Spirit. And if you have this hope within you, what hope? That God in his power, when he comes in the parousia, the Lord is coming. Go ye out to meet him. You're building an ark. Do you understand that? You are building an ark now. Noah preached 120 years. and he preached righteousness. And all the time he's preaching, he's building an ark. And when you get the Holy Spirit in you, for it is God that worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. But the next verse is, work out your own rescue.
Yes.
Work it out. Why? Because he's coming. He's coming. And so 10 virgins are hearing and they're going out. They go to sleep. They wake up and 5 still have enough illumination. That's what oil was. Illumination. What illumination? To know that I'll fly away. Oh, glory is a lot of hogwash. There's going to be a relationship. He says many will come and say, Lord, Lord, have we not cast out devils? Have we not done this in your name? And he says, depart from me, ye workers of unrighteousness. Iniquity in there is unrighteousness. Doesn't mean to say that they weren't born again. He says, I never knew you. And the word new means absolutely. I never knew you in a relationship. In an intimacy. That's what it means. Revelation, he measures the temple. They've come to the stature of the fullness of Christ. But he says, leave the courtyard out. Don't measure it. Because the woman's going to flee into the wilderness. Who's going to minister to her? The sons of God. Believe me. Believe me. And so this hope, and if you go to 1 John, we'll look at 1 John. I'll get to my message yet. 1 John. Behold, chapter 3. Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the children of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Well, that's okay. They look at you, look at me, you look normal. Then when you tell them you're Pentecostal, you look abnormal. And when you say you cast out devils, you're finished. Beloved, now, are we the children of God? And it doth not yet appear, doesn't, it's not made manifest, what we shall be. But we know, that when he shall be made manifest, we shall be like him, for we shall see. See what? See him with wide open eyes. See him. But without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. Hear me.
Please turn the tape over for side 2. Thank you.
Zero tolerance. And so we have this hope, and he says, every man that hath this hope in him, what does he do? He gets deliverance. Purifieth himself, even as he is pure. What makes the people of God today think that they're going up with all the weight and the sin that's in their lives? There's so much of that, they wouldn't go up anyway if there was a wrap too heavy. Looking unto Jesus, the author, the beginner, the initiator of faith. You know what it says in Galatians, before faith came? He was faith. He knew how to live. Faith in God, his Father. Now he wants to live in us and finish the work that he started. I got to get to my message. Those are just a few things I wanted to share. How much time do I have? 3 or 4 hours? I said to someone this, I've got so much. Never happened. I need to pray for a miracle at the 43 minutes to 43 hours. No, that'd be too much. I have good news this morning. That's what I thought. And then I said, no, it's great news. Isaiah, let me read it to you. You know the scripture, so I'll just read it. Isaiah 61, 1 and 2. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me for the purpose, the Lord Jehovah, self-existent one, eternal one, hath anointed me to preach good tidings, glad news, the fulfillment, the cheerful news unto the meek. If you're meek, you're gentle. Even if you have needy circumstances,
He has sent me to bind up or wrap freely the brokenhearted, the hurt. The prayer meeting, as I sat and listened, I heard people mention the dark about hurt. We've all been hurt. You can't, as Brother Parry says, you can't be in this ministry and not be hurt. But hey, if you're in his garment and you get hurt, all he's done is drop the hedge so that you'll understand that he was hurt too. He was hurt too. And so we find out he wants to bind up the brokenhearted, to publish to it, to proclaim freedom. Freedom. To whom? To the captives. Those who've been led away in the opening of the prison, jail delivery, he's talking about. Opening up the senses of a person's mind and saying, hey, you can be free. A lot of people have peace with God, but they have no knowledge of the peace of God. The difference. And so we find here, to them that are bound. Well, that's why we believe in deliverance. You and I were bound. We still have areas God's working on. I remember when I picked up Don Basham's book, I don't know where I was. My mother was sick and I was in the apartment. I was fed up with churches. I was selling real estate and somebody came over and said, well, you want to read this book? Deliver Me from Evil by Don Basham. So I thought, another book. Everybody's giving me books. Another book. But I went to the mall. I see my wife was working. And when your wife's working and you don't know what you're doing, really, you're fighting the enemy and you're depressed and you're trying to sell real estate and you have to get some clientele and customers and goods on the shelf. And so I went to the bank. And it was early, so I remember parking in the parking lot, and I had taken the book with me for some unknown reason. He knew. And I picked the book up, and when I did, there was a rushing mighty wind came into that car. And God said to me, get out of the real estate business. Your ministry is deliverance. Deliverance. But that wasn't the only experience. God was teaching me, and so in the time that I had, I'm sitting one night in my apartment and my father-in-law, who's a pioneer preacher, he walks in with his wife. But before he walked in, I'm sitting there and all of a sudden the Holy Ghost speaks to me and says, go to the washroom. And I went to the washroom and he said, I want you to, and I renounced the area and I threw up. I felt like a new man and I came back. And when I sat down, the Holy Spirit said to me, now thou art clean through the harima that I've spoken unto you. I had to check my concordance to find where that scripture was, but it's John 15:3. And if it had only gone down a little farther, I'd have learned that, hey, if you abide in me and I abide in you, see? But I was still learning. And then just before, as I sat down, suddenly, out of my innermost being, I looked down and I had a vision of Jesus Christ, just the head. And it's come out and I'm looking. And all over my body was the greatest liquid love and anointing that I'd ever felt in my life. And when my father-in-law came in, I explained to him what had happened and he began to seek God and shout and praise the Lord. And in his prayer, he said, thank God, Ivy, that was my mother-in-law, his wife, thank God Ruth, my wife, is not like Ivy. And when he said that in his prayer, the Holy Ghost came forth. And he said, wouldst thou bring a root of bitterness to the throne of grace? And my father-in-law stopped praying and said, my God, I thought I was free of that. And I laid hands on him, and at 70-something years of age, choked this foul root of bitterness out of his gut. When God moves, in you and through you. That's reality. We want reality. That's why we're here. That's why this camp is here. That's why God's blessing. Because of the reality that we can find if we can just get past the tradition and the and all of theological training we've had and all this other stuff. Hey, some of it's good, some of it's lousy. But you and I know that we want reality. We want God. So he talks about here to proclaim the acceptable in Isaiah year. Father, Lord, what do you mean? It's only for a year? Until I checked the Hebrew and found out that a year was a revolution of time plus a whole age. So what's he saying? He's saying it's the acceptable time now, not just back then when Jesus said it. He began to say it, but it's in this age we're in. It's an acceptable time for rescue, for help, for deliverance, for healing. It's all there. It's all there. And so we find in Luke 4, 18 and 19, Jesus stands up and he says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because, or on account of, or by reason of, he hath anointed or smeared or rubbed me with oil to furnish what is needed. He has anointed me to preach the good news to the poor." And also he goes on down, "He has sent me to heal, cure, make whole the brokenhearted who have been crushed, completely crushed." And he says, "I want to heal your broken heart." Now, isn't that love? Can you imagine today if you have a broken heart, that as we allow the Spirit to move, suddenly the Spirit just embraces you and says to you, "Dear, love it. I want to heal your broken heart." I prayed for a lady who was husband committed adultery. In fact, he was here 2 years ago. She had a martyr spirit because she was back with her husband. But she felt betrayed and she had a broken heart. And God healed her. And so he talks about it, broken hearted, the one that's been crushed, to preach deliverance, freedom, remission, repent, and be baptized for the remission. I've been forgiven. Now God wants to remit those things. Dead works, get them out of my conscience. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health even as your soul prospers. So he cleanses the soul. And as he's cleansing the soul, healing is coming to you. Wonderful. And so we go on here. Covering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty, freedom, them that are bruised or have been shattered to minute fragments. Not the same as the other chapter in 1 John, because that talks about right down to the atoms. But this is just the minute fragments of a person's life. To preach the acceptable, the approved, the year of the Lord, and notice the next phrase, and he began. Why? Because he wants to finish it through you and me. He began. But he was cut off, you see, in the midst of his years. Who shall declare my generation? We will. And he began, it says, to say unto them, this day, at present, hitherto, is this document, the contents, the statement fulfilled or verified or coincides with the prediction in your ears. It's been verified and here it is. Well, in Acts chapter 1, verses 1 through 5, and I'll just read the part of it, of all that Jesus began to do and teach. In other words, he set precedence. He started to talk about the kingdom. He went back to the disciples and he began to minister through the Spirit about the kingdom. 2 Corinthians 6, 1 and 2 says, for. For means properly assigning a reason, or it's used in an argument, or it's an explanation, or an intensification of what's coming. For he saith, I have heard thee. How many believe he hears? You're here with a need. Has he heard you? How many believe he's heard him? All right. I have heard thee, or have hearkened, a very favorable hearkening, in the time accepted. Is this the time? Is it acceptable time? Yes. What are you waiting for? But you see, I think what has to happen is the truth has to grip us in the Spirit where we realize, hey, it's the will of God to heal me. It's the will of God to deliver me. It's the will of God to take care of these bones that are crippled up. If He can heal a man's arm that's crippled, why can't He heal you in your feet? Why can't He heal you in your arms or your spine? Why can't He? This is the time accepted. And He was the one that set precedent and said, it started now. That's what He's talking about. A proper time, a fixed or special occasion, approved or have offered to one. And in the day of salvation. Is this the day of salvation?
Amen.
Then it's the day of healing, the day of deliverance, the day of getting rid of disease, the day of getting rid of sickness. It's all here. He goes on to say, in the day of salvation have I succored or aided or relieved or helped or brings out, hello, Lord, I need help. He says, okay. And He speaks in here. Help's on the way. That's what He's talking about. Now He says, hello, Mindy, and behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Now, now, now. Hebrews 4 says, seeing then, 14:16, that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast, use strength, retain our profession, which means confession, for, and here again the word for, use as a signing for a reason, or in an argument or an explanation, for we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling. Nobody understands me. Nobody knows how I feel. He does. He does. You're not alone. He knows. That's what He's saying. The feeling of our, now notice, infirmities, plural. The word infirmities is asthenia, means feebleness of body, feebleness of mind, disease, infirmity, sickness, and weakness. When I was in Newfoundland, a lady stood up, pastor's wife came to the front, we'd been preaching, we're going to pray for them. She stood there and I went down the line and I prayed for God to heal her. Went on down, she stepped back and said, I want you to pray specifically for me. And I said, I cast from you the spirit of infirmity. Not knowing that she had a back brace on and that back spinal problem was so bad it was causing a tremor in her hand. Sometimes we pray for the effect rather than the cause. So we cast the spirit of infirmity off of her. And we go on and we say, but in all points, tempted or tested, through the idea of piercing it brings out, like as we are yet, like as, because He did it apart from sin. Now the next verse says, let us therefore come boldly, approach the throne of grace. All I can't come to God. God doesn't love me. I can't. Yes, you can. Lord! Oh, he gets tired of hearing me holler. No, he's not deaf, you know. Somebody says, well, he's not hard of hearing either, and he doesn't have bad nerves. I heard that from somebody. Lord, let us come boldly, approach with all unspokenness, frankness, and bluntness, with all the assurance and all the confidence. Lord, what? All men are here of grace under the throne of grace. What is grace? The throne of grace, all manner of graciousness and benefit and favor and gift, that we may obtain or get hold of mercy. Mercy. I have to close pretty soon. I only got two pages done. But I want you to look at Psalm 86. Because God wants to hear you. God wants to speak to you by the Spirit. Psalm 86. Verses 1 through 8. Bow down mine ear, O Lord. Hear me. For I am poor and needy. Preserve my soul, for I am holy. O thou, my God, save thy servant that trusteth in thee. Be merciful unto me, O Lord, for I cry unto thee daily. Rejoice the soul of thy servant, for unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. For thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive. And what? Plenteous. Plenteous in mercy unto all them that what? Call upon him. Don't be afraid to call upon him. He's your heavenly Father. And you're in Jesus Christ, his Son. And with the Spirit you come to the throne of grace and say, Lord, I need help. I need healing. I need deliverance. In the day of my trouble, give ear, O Lord, unto my prayer, and attend to the voice of my supplications. In the day of my trouble, I will call upon thee, for thou wilt answer me. Among the gods there is none like unto thee. Who else are we going to go to? Well, a few years ago, they went to Jack Cole. I went to A. Allen. Listen, God wants you to go to him. Go to him. Where's your faith? In the evangelist? God's man of faith and power? Never! Your faith is in him. He has everything. He's done everything. And he'll do everything. Go to him. Now, I want to just share a little thing. You might know it, but I want you to turn to Psalm 105. I got these little things happening, and I get so excited, I got to dump it all at once. But in Psalm 105, and you all know the story of Joseph, in verse 17, he sent a man before them, even Joseph. How would you like it? Loving the Lord? Your brothers don't love it. They think you're just spoiled brat. They're jealous and they figure we're going to get rid of them. They're going to kill you. That's bad. But rather than kill you, they sell you off as a slave. I can hear Pentecostal people now. Oh, God. This is the way it's going to be. I quit. No way am I taking this nonsense. I'm not going to be put down. I'm not going to be criticized. Nobody cares. Nobody's thankful. I just spent 3 hours praying for somebody to deliver, and they didn't thank me. Forget it. But God, what does it say? He sent a man before them. What was he doing? He had Joseph's life all patterned out. But thank God he didn't know it. Thank God I don't know what's patterned out for mine. Joseph didn't know it. Oh, he'd had the vision. And his brothers were going to bow down, but he didn't figure he was going to have to go through trial, testing, suffering before it came to pass. Come on. It says here, who was sold for a servant, whose feet they hurt with fetters. He was laid in iron. Now notice verse 19, the first word. Until the time that his word came. You know what it means? It means that when God had told him years before that his brothers were going to bow down and all this was going to take place, after he goes through the suffering and the purging and all of this, suddenly we find out until the time that his word came, the word of the Lord tested him. What's he saying? God promises healing. God promises a lot of promises. They're all yea and amen to him that believe. And I've heard people say, oh, well, I had people who did this and did that. And I say, let God be true and every man a liar. I don't care what your experience is. I don't care what story you're going to tell me. God's word is absolute. It's absolute. And so we find out here, he says, until the time that his word came, the word of the Lord refined him in the Hebrew. refined him. And you're going through the refining process. The king sent and loosed him, even the ruler of the people, and let him what? Go free. And then what happened? He made him lord of his house and ruler of all his substance. But it didn't happen all those years. Then it happened. Maybe now is the accepted time. Here it is. What do we need? What do you need? I got all kinds of scriptures here about faith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, which is strictly a demand of something due. Hear me. What the word desire is something that is due you. You demand it. Why? Because he paid for it. Doesn't make any sense. Isaiah says he carried my bruises. He carried my sorrows. He carried my sins. So why are we carrying them? By his stripes, Isaiah said, you are healed. Peter says, by his stripes, you were healed. Done. Concluded. Finished. That's what he's saying. When you pray, believe that you receive or get hold of them. Now notice the next phrase. And you shall have them. There might be a time lapse, because with faith and endurance, we inherit the promise. So faith is there, but we have to endure it. But conviction's there. I know it's somebody, well, I'm healed. Are you? Oh yeah, well, you don't look healed. But I endure. I heard that last night. 12 years! Believing God for healing! But something tells me he had to have had the word spoken to him through faith to take him through. He had to know it. When he knew it, even though he came to the borderline of death, he said, God has spoken and I believe it. Abraham had the same. I can take you into Abraham in the depths where he was. He had faith and it was accounted to him for righteousness before he was ever circumcised. You and I have faith. It's accounted on us for righteousness before you and I are circumcised spiritually. So much in the Word of God. So we find out here, why do we have the battle? For though we walk in the flesh, 2 Corinthians 10:3-5, you know it, we do not war or serve in a military campaign after the flesh. For, here again, for assigning a reason, use an argument. It's an explanation, an intensification of what's coming. For the weapons, and they're offensive, by the way. For the weapons of our warfare are not fleshly, but mighty, capable through God. Hello? Through God. Brings me back to abiding. Brings me back to resting. Brings me back to the leading of the Spirit. And so he says it here. Mighty through God to the pulling down, the demolition, the lowering with violence. Certainly, this is the battle. Up here, if I could cut my head off and walk around, it'd be fine. Wouldn't have half the problem. But you see, you're not healed. Hope the pain. Oh, man, that hurt. So you never were healed. Hey, let God be true. And every man a liar. And so he says the stronghold. These are pulling down all these violence and things in your mind to fortify. They think they're safe with all this going on. But I want you to tell you, strongholds to the idea of holding safely, it's an argument, casting down imaginations. All the reasonings. All the thoughts, all the computations that go into your mind. Well, I can't be this because that, blah, blah, blah. I can't get rid of this disease because the doctor said this, this, and this. God healed me of prostate cancer. I said that at family camp, and I'm fine. Because it was a lying wonder of the devil that said I had a 17 or 18 point something, and when the doctor walked in and said, hey, you have prostate cancer, I sat there and looked. Didn't cry. Just looked. He hit me right between the eyeballs. I told my wife after we got to the car. I didn't want her past bail. And the first thing she said, we're not accepting that. God bless women that are behind their men. I'll tell you, it's just wonderful. We're not accepting that. I said, okay. And we agreed together. And after 2 or 3, he says, you go back and get another test. Tell him you're not happy with the first one. Another $25, another test, and it was down to 12 point something. So he wasn't happy with that, so he said, you go to urologist. I went to urologist, and I had to have another PSA test. And when the urologist got there, and this was a year ago, and I'm sitting there, and my birthday, and he said, your count's only 7-something. You're all right. If it was cancer, the count would go up, not down. Well, I said, thank you for the birthday present. He looked at, oh yeah, happy birthday. We take too much from the enemy. He lies to us. He gives us all these reasonings, and it's all these computations, and every high thing, every barrier, elevated and put up there. Why? That exalteth itself against the knowledge. And the word knowledge in the Greek is knowing the act. This is why he doesn't want you to know God's act in you. He doesn't want God to perform an act of a miracle in you, so he rises all of these things up. But God lets us know of God bringing into a into captivity every thought. And he says, to what? To the obedience, the subordination, notice, of Christ. I bring it in. Say, Lord, I'm battling with this. He says, okay, bring it down here. So I say, all right, I subordinate it to him. And he says, okay, you're healed. This is God good. Isn't God God? Well, Numbers 23, there's a couple of scriptures I'll close with. God is not a man that he should lie or deceive, neither the Son of Man that he should repent, Numbers 23:19, or be sorry. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good, or confirm it, or accomplish it? All the promises of God are what? Where? In him. That's right. In him are yea, and in him amen, unto the glory of God. Beloved, you know what your problems are. I've had people come to me and say, Pastor, if you think I have spirits, you tell me what they are. I say, hey, you know what you're having trouble with. And sometimes I'll sit down. You see, how I discern spirits is out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So I let them talk. And after 30 minutes, I might have a list of 5 or 10. And then I'll say, well, you have a spirit of devastation. How did you know? But you said it. Or somebody say, oh man, I've been so hurt. And they'll go on this way, and I'll, you have a spirit of hurt. How did you? Oh, you got to be some prophet. Nothing to do with that. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks, and you write it down. I've heard commentators on the radio, and I'll turn to my wife and say, that's a spirit. God quickens it. That's a spirit. Oh, glory to God. I'm telling you, it gets so good, and it gets gooder and gooder. God wants to move in us. He wants you to walk out of here free. He wants to speak to you a word of faith. And if it doesn't happen in that instance, believe him, and that promise will come to pass. So let's bow our hearts together. Why don't you just lift your heart to God. Don't bow your head. Just, you know, it's hard to holler at God when you're looking at the floor. Come on. Lord, I have my hands up. I want you to heal me. Come on. Lord, I want you to speak to me. Lord, I want deliverance. I want broken heart healed. Lord, I want healing. It's real. It's truth. It's God's word. It's now. This is the accepted time. So let Him do the work in you. You say, well, what'll happen if my bones aren't straight? They'll get straight. They'll get straight. If you have an area and you need deliverance, you renounce it and breathe in and breathe it out and say, Lord, do the work in me. No, you don't need anybody to lay hands on. You just need God to come and love you and embrace you and just bind up your broken heart and minister to you those things that are needed in your heart and life today. Breathe in me, beloved. Breathe in me and let God have His way. Just worship Him and love Him. It's, you know, love. It's the love as you love Him. Say, Lord, I love You. Lord, I just love You for what You're doing. Lord, I'm loving You for all the things You have for me. How much more with His Son freely give You all things? Oh, let Him have His way, beloved. Begin to worship and praise Him and love Him. Come on, get into the things of God and let God do something. Come on, let's stand and let Him have His way. Let Him have His way. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord. Oh, yes, Jesus. Yes, Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Let Him have His way. Glory to Jesus. Hallelujah.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com.
There are hundreds of free audio files there.
It's like going to Bible school at home.